This is SportsBeat AM, featuring a conversation with Blue and Gold Illustrated Notre Dame football beat reporter Tyler Horka.
Well, Tyler was in Charlottesville for Saturday night's Notre Dame victory over Virginia, 28-3. You can check out all of Tyler's writing and commentary at Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. Tyler, let me start you off with just a thought on the Fighting Irish defense. They have not given up a touchdown in two consecutive games. Now, to be fair, Brendan Armstrong didn't play quarterback for Virginia, so that's a factor. But at the same time, I know totally different schemes that Notre Dame has faced the last 2 weeks. But what has impressed you about Marcus Freeman's unit the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think they've really kind of rebounded from those games against USC and especially North Carolina. They did a pretty good job against USC, but North Carolina, I think some people were scratching their heads saying, what's going on? Why is this team giving up over 500 yards of offense? And that was just a case of a really good player having a really good game in Sam Howell. The last 2 weeks, they've been really good in their assignments. I mean, you hold Navy to under 200 yards of offense, one of the five best games defensively during the Brian Kelly era. And in this game against Virginia, you mentioned Brendan Armstrong not playing well. I think Ramon Henderson said it after the game. He's like, well, no matter who's playing quarterback, we still have to play defense and we still have to do a good job. And the Notre Dame defense did that. You saw, you know, three starters technically out, Kyle Hamilton missing his third straight game and Drew White not being able to play because of the bug that went around the locker room, and Myron Tagovailoa-Samosa with the same thing. So in step a couple guys. Bo Bauer had the best game of his Notre Dame career. Mentioned Henderson. He had a really good game, recorded his first interception. So you're seeing a lot of guys have really good individual performances, and they're playing really well together as a team as well. So it was an awesome defensive performance. Obviously, anytime you hold a team to 3 points, it's really good. And I think they did a really good job against that freshman quarterback.
The start of the year, we heard that versatility was going to be very important for the Irish defenders. Another example, how about Riley Mills' performance on Saturday?
Yeah, he was awesome. And Brian Kelly joked in the postgame press conference that maybe he's going to be a defensive end permanently moving forward. He's lined up in the middle for most of his Notre Dame career, all of his Notre Dame career to this point. But he's just really hard to block. And, that goes for guards, that goes for tackles. I think he just is a savvy pass rusher. He showed that in getting a couple sacks. And it was kind of that freshman quarterback's worst nightmare to see a guy like that who probably you don't really prepare for if you're Virginia, because you've got so many other guys on this Notre Dame defensive line that you have to worry about. But when Myron goes out, in steps Riley Mills. And I think he's probably the future for Notre Dame as a pass rusher, considering Isaiah Foskey might be gone after this year to go to the NFL. You've got a lot of seniors along that defensive line. Riley Mills just kind of flashed what he could be for, in a Notre Dame uniform. And I think that's probably going to be the case the next couple of years, at least next year for sure.
He is Blue and Gold Illustrated's beat reporter, Tyler Horka, joining me on WSBT Radio. Well, let's talk about the Irish offense for a couple of moments. And Tyler, very early on in the season, the Notre Dame offensive line did not meet the Notre Dame standard that has been set so high by previous offensive lines. How far have they come the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's been an awesome turnaround. And I think that's the main reason Notre Dame is 9-1 right now. And started the season 4-1, and at that 4-1 point, you look at a couple of those games, could have lost to Toledo, could have lost to Virginia Tech. The offensive line wasn't great in either of those games. And, in the 5-6 games since then, it's been an awesome turnaround. Notre Dame averages 6.6 yards per carry on Saturday against Virginia. I know Kyron Williams only has 70 yards, and Tyler Buckner only carried it three times for 10 yards, but you look at the team total, 249 rushing yards. I think most teams are going to take that. That's kind of a Notre Dame number right there to get around 250 rushing yards. And that's a testament to the offensive line. And, most of those guys across that line are playing really well right now. I think Kyron Williams is having fun playing football again, those first five games. The locker room will tell you that Kyron Williams always has fun playing football, but when you're averaging 2-3 yards a carry, that's not very fun for anybody. So the offensive line steps it up. He averaged 5 yards a carry against Virginia. He's averaging 5 yards a carry for the entire season. I don't think anybody thought that would be possible in those first couple weeks of the season. So it's just a testament to the offensive line. And, Jack Cohn's dropping back, and I know he's getting the ball out quicker now in the last month and a half or so, but he's not getting sacked very much anymore. Virginia didn't have one sack in this game. There was a time in this Notre Dame season where you'd expect the opposition to get three, yeah, four, five sacks a game. So all in all, across the line, it's really helped this offense come together and just playing very efficiently and effectively.
Two-part question for you, Tyler, about the Irish running backs. Now, Chris Tyree, of course, had been dealing with turf toe. So my first question is this. Do you feel like Logan Diggs has passed Tyree on the depth chart and it's not injury-related with Tyree? And part two is just how much depth is there in that running back room?
Yeah, a lot of depth. Obviously, we haven't even really seen Audric Estime except, in those goal line tight end packages that he comes in. So I think he's a guy that a lot of fans were excited for, and we haven't even seen him as a ball carrier. So to the Logan Diggs and Chris Tyree thing, I think it had to do a lot with the injury. Obviously, when Chris Tyree goes down with turf toe, somebody else has to step in. Sebo Flemister has been dealing with a few things this season. So the next guy to turn to was Logan Diggs, and he's done a phenomenal job. He runs for nine times for 64 yards against Virginia. He'll take 7.1 yards per carry every single time. Mm-hmm. He's just been really reliable. Obviously, he scored a couple touchdowns this year. It's kind of sad for Chris Tyree because everyone thought that, Kyren Williams and Chris Tyree was going to be that 1-2 punch, but his injury kind of shook things up, and Logan Diggs came in. He did well. He's still doing well. I don't know why you would turn away from that if you're Brian Kelly and Tommy Rees. So I do think that he's kind of become the clear number two. It's obvious in terms of numbers, and it's obvious in terms of snap counts and situations in which those two guys are playing. So I think Chris Tyree has every opportunity in the world over the offseason to kind of maybe even regain that number one mark if Kyren Williams goes to the NFL like everyone thinks. But if you've got Chris Tyree and Logan Diggs next year, I mentioned Audric Estime. I think the freshman that Notre Dame has coming in and Jadarian Price from Denison, Texas is really good. I actually saw him play in August, and he's been running for 200 yards and a lot of touchdowns pretty much every game in his senior year down in Denison. So Notre Dame's doing a really good job with the running back room, that's for sure.
What if the Irish track and field team has put in a call to see if Diggs can run track and maybe run some hurdles? That was a heck of a run by Diggs there in Absolutely. Charlottesville. Tyler Horka covers the Irish for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. Tyler, coming into this football game, only 5 scholarship wide receivers ready to roll. 3 of those were freshmen. We expected only 2 of them to play. Now, it didn't turn out to be a game that it was going to be a shootout where you had to score 40 points to win the ball game. Your assessment of what the Irish got out of the wide receiving core when they threw the football to them on Saturday?
Yeah, I think Notre Dame could probably get a little more, obviously. Kevin Austin had 3 catches, Braden Lindsey 3 catches. Lorenzo Styles gets his first start in the slot after Avery Davis goes down with his ACL injury, and he's targeted 4 times and only makes 1 catch for 4 yards. Obviously, you'd like to see a little more there, but they get Styles involved on the end around, and that goes for 30 plus yards. They get Lindsey involved on an end around, that goes for 30 plus yards. So I think they know what they have in a thin wide receiver room, and they're trying ways to get those guys involved. And I mentioned Austin and Lindsey only having 3 catches. Well, one of those, for each of them was a touchdown. So I mentioned the word efficiency earlier on. I think that's been the name of the game for, specifically the Notre Dame wide receivers. You're not going to see these guys like some of these wide receivers that Notre Dame has faced on the other side. USC's Drake London and UNC's Josh Downs, David Bell earlier in the year. Those guys are trying to get 10 to 15 catches a game, go for 150 yards and maybe a couple scores. Notre Dame doesn't really have one of those guys, but they do have guys that they can rely on to catch a touchdown here, catch a touchdown there, make a big play. We've seen that from multiple Notre Dame wide receivers. You'd always like more. You want these guys to have huge games and, get game balls and all of that. But if they're scoring touchdowns and they're making plays and Notre Dame is winning by 25 points, I don't think there's anything to complain about.
Georgia Tech has lost 4 in a row. Phil Jurkovec went nuts against the Jackets last Saturday in a 41-30 Boston College win. He had 3 rushing touchdowns and 2 passing touchdowns against the Jackets. Do you think Georgia Tech is much of a threat to Notre Dame this Saturday?
I don't. Somebody on our message board posted the initial point spread. I think it was 14 and a half. I don't know where they got that number, but I told them, if you're a betting man, hammer the Irish in that. It's just, I guess I'll speak to that. It's almost like you wish Georgia Tech was 7-3 and not 3-7. You wish Stanford was 7-3 and not 3-7, because here Notre Dame is with almost a cakewalk path to finish 11-1, and it seems like they're still going to be on the outside looking in at the college football playoff. And that's unfortunate for Notre Dame, because I think this team is playing really well and could finish 11-1 if they were playing tougher opponents down the stretch. But you can't control what your schedule does. And no, I don't think Georgia Tech is a threat to Notre Dame this weekend. But that being the case, Notre Dame's going to win their 10th game for, what would that be now, 5 years in a row, 10 plus victories. Testament to Brian Kelly and his staff, what they've done these last 5 seasons, especially after that 2016 season, they've really turned it around. And this is, one of the five best programs in the country year in, year out.
Currently, Notre Dame favored by 15 and a half over Georgia Tech at Notre Dame Stadium. Tyler, finally, how would you assess the chances for Notre Dame to sneak at least into the playoff picture over the next couple of weeks? You laid it out perfectly. You wish the Irish were playing some teams that would give them a little punch that the committee would take note of. I mean, what is the best win for the Irish? Probably against Wisconsin right now. So as you assess Notre Dame's playoff chances, what would you say to Notre Dame fans right now?
Yeah, you just like seeing Oklahoma lose to Baylor this past weekend. You just need more of that. Obviously, you want Michigan to lose. You want all of those one-loss teams that are ranked ahead of Notre Dame in the college football playoff rankings right now to lose. So Notre Dame fans should be watching other games across the country as much as they're watching Notre Dame in these last 2 weeks of the regular season, because chaos is the word. You need some crazy things to happen for Notre Dame to rise from number nine and knock on that number four door. So obviously the first two things are beat these inferior teams on the schedule the last 2 weeks, but after that, you're rooting against Ohio State, you're rooting against Oregon, you're rooting against teams like that. And Cincinnati's the weird one, because if Cincinnati loses a game, do they drop behind Notre Dame when they have that head-to-head component there, and Cincinnati won? And I mean, that'll be 2 months to the point when these decisions are being made, and Notre Dame's might be a better team right now than Cincinnati, but it'll be interesting to see how they play that. And and then if Cincinnati wins out, it's probably impossible for Notre Dame to move past Cincinnati. And then you're looking at teams like Alabama and Georgia, and you're saying, how do we move past any of these teams? So chaos. Chaos is the word, Darren. You need a lot of crazy things to happen, and you definitely need that 11-1 mark.
Well, hopefully Ohio State can clean out Michigan and Michigan State from Notre Dame's pass in the next couple of weeks. Hey, Tyler, what will Irish fans find right now at blueandgold.com?
Yeah, definitely. If you want to get your last dose of Patrick Engel and I's coverage from Charlottesville, we did a lot of things from there. That's all up there on blueandgold.com right now. Brian Kelly's, speaking at noon, so we'll have plenty of coverage from that. And then the rest of the week leading into the Georgia Tech game, a lot of really cool features, analysis, breakdowns of what Notre Dame has done so far this season and what we expect them to do the last couple of weeks here. And I can't believe it's already mid-November. There's snow all over the ground outside my apartment window right now, and just a couple games left in this regular season. It's crazy.
You're officially a resident of South Bend now that you're living through a little snow, that's for sure. Tyler Horka, he is the Notre Dame football beat reporter for Blue and Gold Illustrated. Check out his work at blueandgold.com, and he joins me every Monday to recap Notre Dame football and their most recent contest. And we'll try it again next week after hopefully a win over Georgia Tech. Tyler, great job in Charlottesville this weekend. We appreciate your time this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome, Darren. Good to be back on with you. Thanks.
You bet. Thank you so much. He is Tyler Horka, and he covers the Fighting Irish for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com, 849 at WSBT.